بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله today is the 22nd of May in the year 2018 Alhamdulillah, we moved on to the sixth glorious day of the holy month of Ramadan. And I've reached verse 7 of Surah Ali Imran. So inshallah today, going through up to and including verse 9. So verse 7. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. It is He who has sent down to you the book. In it are verses basic or fundamental. They are the foundation of the book. Others are not of well-established meaning, but those in whose hearts is perversity follow the part thereof that is not of well-established meaning, seeking discord and searching for its hidden meanings. But no one knows its true meanings except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those who are firmly grounded in knowledge say, We believe in the book, the whole of it is from our Lord, and none will grasp the message except the men of deep understanding. So this is the famous verse in which Allah the Almighty and Glorious mentions the muhkamat and the mutashabihat. The muhkamat are the clear verses, and the mutashabihat are the unclear verses. So who's being referred to here? So first of all, if you look at the holy verse, towards the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ Those who are firmly grounded in knowledge, they say. So in this verse, Allah ta'ala praises those who are firmly grounded in knowledge. But who's being referred to? So this narration is in Tabarani in his Kabir, number 7658 or 8-152. Hakim in his Mustadrak, Sahih, Zahabi, Sahih, Ad-Dur al-Mantur, 2-11, Ibn Abi Hatim, and Jami al-Ulum al-Hikm. Abdullah ibn Abbas and Abu Darda, radiyallahu anhu, they both related that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked about that verse. وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ Those who are firmly rooted in knowledge. Who is this? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Whoever's oath is true, whoever's tongue is truthful, whose heart is upstanding, whose stomach and private parts abstain, i.e. from the unlawful, then he is the one who is firmly rooted in knowledge. So this is the first report from the Prophet himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In another report, and this is in Ibn al-Mundhir ibn Kathir's tafsir, Nafi ibn Zayd rahmatullah alayhi said, It is said that the firmly rooted in knowledge are those who abase themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and humble themselves to Him, seeking His good pleasure. They do not try to exalt themselves above those who are over them, nor despise those who are beneath them. So these are two reports. So simply put, Allah the Almighty and Glorious in this holy verse, He's praising some people. And he says they are firmly grounded in knowledge. And they have five signs now without the reports. They keep their oaths. When they swear, they don't break their oaths. They don't lie. They have a truthful tongue. Their heart is clean. And they protect the hollow ones, i.e. the tongue, from misuse and the private parts. And they are humble. They don't, you know, exalt themselves. So look how amazing. Would you consider this knowledge? A lot of people will say these are characteristics. He's got a good character. But the Quran says, وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ These are the ones who are firmly grounded in knowledge. So this shows the importance of character. So note this is from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and from the Salaf. So this is one of the reports. So now if you look at the whole passage, who is being referred to? Who are the diseased ones? I those who pursue the mutashabihat. So this narration is in Ibn Abi Shayba in his Musannaf number 37,892. Bayhaqi in his Sunan al-Kubra 8-188. Tabrani in his Kabir 8-267-28. And Al-Harith in Al-Musnad 2-716. So I'll go through the report. Abu Ghalib, he relates, I was in the Masjid of Damascus in Syria when 70 heads from the heads of Al-Haruriyya, the Khawarij, were brought and displayed on the stairs of the Masjid. So look at the opening statement. 70 Khawarij heads were brought to the heads of the Masjid. Abu Umama, a companion, came radiallahu anhu. He looked at them. He said, the dogs of hell, the worst of those killed, have been killed beneath the shade of the sky. And some of those who have been killed by them are the best of the killed beneath the heaven. He then wept. He then looked at me and said, O Abu Ghalib, are you from the same country as these? I said, yes. He said, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you from them. So stop in the quote. So Abu Umama looks at the 70 heads, he curses them, because the dogs of hell. But these people who were killed by them, they're the best. Then he wept. And the narrator of the Harith, Abu Ghalib, he looked at him. He goes, are you from them? He goes, yes. He goes, may Allah ta'ala protect you from their fitna. Then Abu Umama said, radiyallahu anhu, do you recite Surah Ali Imran, O Abu Ghalib? I said, yes. He then recited almost the whole verse 7. So the verse I've just given you the translation of, he recited almost all of it to him. He said, this is referring to them. Then he said, he recited Surah Ali Imran, Surah 3, verse 106. He goes, this also refers to them, the translation. On the day when faces will be whitened and faces will be darkened, as for those whose faces have been darkened, they will be asked, did you disbelieve after your belief? Taste the torment because of your disbelief. So simply put, Abu Umama said two of the verses of Ali Imran refer to the Khawarij, verse 7 and verse 106. Then he said, Abu Ghalib said, O Abu Umama radiyallahu anhu, why were you shedding tears? He said, I had compassion for them. Before fleeing from the deen, they were amongst the people of Islam. The Bani Israel split into 71 sects. And this ummah will add one sect, divide into 72. All of it in the fire of hell, except the thronging majority, the largest party. They are responsible for that which they have been charged. And you are responsible for that which you have been charged. And if you obey him, the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will be guided. But the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has no other charge than to convey the message. Then he said some words which are very powerful. He said, As-sam'u wa ta'atu khayra min al-firqati wal-ma'asiyah. To hear and obey is better than dissension and sinful disobedience. To hear and obey is better than dissension and sinful disobedience. When Abu Umama said this, a man asked, O Abu Umama radiyallahu anhu, are you expressing your own opinion? Or is this something you've heard from the Messenger of Allah? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He answered, in the former case, I would be foolish. But as a matter of fact, I heard this from the Messenger of Allah, not once, twice, but 7 times. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now look how interesting. He didn't narrate any of that to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you'd think, oh, this is his view. These verses, his view is, it refers to the Khawarij. Stick to the majority, you'll be saved. So a man goes, oh, is this your view? Only when he provoked it. He goes, you think I'm stupid to quote the Quran without any authority? He goes, I've heard this 7 times from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what does it mean? It means simply, this verse is about the Khawarij. Why? Because they follow the mutashabihat. They don't follow the clear verses of the Quran. They look at the ambiguous verses, and this is what destroys them. And note, what did he say? To to hear and obey is better than dissension and sinful disobedience. Meaning, no matter how corrupt the rulers are, as long as they've established the salat, it goes, you do not go against them, because this is nothing to do with our deen. It causes more harm than good. Also, it mentions, this is in Ibn Abi Hatim, in his tafsir. Abu Umama radiyallahu, he heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say about this verse, Annahumul Khawarij. These are the Khawarij. So the Prophet himself said this verse 7 is referring to the Khawarij. Ibn Kathir cited a hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as for those who possess deviation in their hearts, they seek to follow what is unclear, this is nothing but the Khawarij, which are being referred to. This is in Ibn Kathir's tafsir. So note, many narrations indicate it's the Khawarij. Abdullah ibn Abbas, he added something. This is in Ibn Abi Shaybah in his Al-Musannaf, number 39,056. Abdul Razak in his Musannaf, number 20,895. Abdullah ibn Abbas, r.a. said, somebody mentioned the Khawarij. And he responded, they believe in the holy verses of clear and well-established meaning, the muhkamat, but they are ruined when they come to those of imprecise meaning, the mutashabihat. He then recited this verse. So as for those in whose hearts there is a deviation, they have followed that which is mutashabihat, seeking fitna, and none knows its interpretation except Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this authentic report, Abdullah ibn Abbas said, the Khawarij believe in the clear verses. There's no problem. But they also then pursue the unclear verses. And that is what destroys them. And the Quran clearly says, those who look at the unclear verses, try to seek the meanings, they're causing fitna. And he says, only Allah Ta'ala knows the clear verses. So note, the Khawarij are mentioned here. So now, how do we look at the mutashabihat? So there's a hadith. The hadith is in Tabarani in his Kabir. And Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states sahih. In Sahih al-Jami, number 1334, and As-Sahihah, number 1522. Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, verily the nations before you were not destroyed until they committed something similar to this, using parts of the Quran against other parts of the Quran. As for what is halal, make it halal. And as for what is haram, make it haram. And as for what is mutashabih, then believe in it. So there's the command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because the previous ummahs were destroyed when their holy book, they clashed the holy book. Because this verse, and they contradict in the Quran. The previous scriptures didn't contradict. They're all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He goes, that's how they destroyed each other. So he warned us against doing this. Then he said, what is halal is halal, what is haram. But then he said, what is unclear, believe it. So a person goes, give me an example of an unclear verse in the Quran. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he rose over the arsh. Mentions that in quite a few places of the glorious Quran. He is Ar-Rahman, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he rose over the arsh. We believe it. If somebody starts asking, what does it mean? There's fitna. Right? You say, look, we are told to believe in the mutashabihat. Another verse says, he will come down in the clouds on the day of resurrection with the angels. Mutashabihat. The day that the shin will be laid bare. Another mutashabihat. So not all of it is related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We just simply believe in it. We don't pursue it. That's what the Prophet told you to do. And the command is simple. But those who pursue it, there's illness in their hearts. And there's a famous hadith which explains this. So this hadith is in Sahih Bukhari, number 4547. Sahih Muslim, number 2665. Abu Dawud, number 4598. Tirmidhi, number 3005. Hasan Sahih. Ahmad in his Musnad, number 26,257, Ibn Kathir's tafsir. Our beloved mother, Sayyidah Aisha radiyallahu anha, relates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited this verse, Ayah verse 7 of Surah Ali Imran. He then explained, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you see those who follow thereof that which is not entirely clear, the mutashabihat, then they are those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has named as having deviated. So beware of them. So what is it mentioned in this hadith in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the verse. He goes, those who follow the mutashabihat, I'm warning you of them. Because beware of them, those who start talking about this. Where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because beware of them, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. He gave you a command. In a variation in Imam Ahmad's Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you see those who argue in it, the mutashabihat, then they are those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala meant. Therefore beware of them. Meaning these are the ones who are diseased in their hearts. They are causing fitna. The Prophet goes, beware of them, meaning avoid them. Don't go into the mutashabihat mentioned in the glorious Quran. So the obvious reason people ask, why is Allah the Almighty and glorious place mutashabihat verses? To expose the diseased. How simple is that? How would you know who the diseased people are if the mutashabihat verses weren't in the Quran? You understand? So if somebody goes, well, why is he doing that? Because he's showing to you out of his kindness who those people who are ill. So avoid these people. And who were they? The Khawarij. The Khawarij were making these crazy statements. And they were looking at the Quran, which was misguiding them. Now if you look at the verse, there's a very interesting thing. If you look towards the end of the verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And then he says, stay after that, وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ. Now according to Mujahid, there is no full stop. So a person goes, what does that mean? So if you read the English, no one knows its true meanings except Allah and those who are firmly grounded in knowledge. So according to Mujahid, there are people who know the meanings of the unclear, have you understood? Because he's continuing it. However, this is rejected by the majority of commentators. They stop at the waqaf lazim. They don't put the sentences together. So the meaning is, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows its hidden meanings, full stop. Then it says, and those who are firmly grounded in knowledge, they say, we believe in Allah. But if you don't put a full stop there, you're actually saying, Allah ta'ala knows what the shabihat are and the people of knowledge. So no, you've got to be careful here. That's why it's important to stop here. Even though Mujahid did say that, rahmatullah alayhi. So now, who else is this referring to, apart from the Khawarij? So I mentioned yesterday that the Christians came, the delegation of Christians, is also referring to them. So there's a report, this is in Ibn Abi Hatim, Ad-Dur al-Mantur, Ibn Jarir in his tafsir. Ar-Rabi, rahmatullah alayhi, senior tabi'in, he relates. The Christian delegations were resolute from Najran that came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They argued with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they said to him, do you sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not claim that Jesus is the word of God and a spirit from him? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, certainly I do. They said, this is sufficient for us. I to prove his divinity. Then Allah the Almighty revealed this verse. But those in whose hearts is a doubt pursue the unclear of it, seeking to cause fitna. Then Allah the Almighty also sent down the verse in Surah Ali Imran, verse 59. Inna mathala Isa indallahi ka mathali Adam. Truly the likeness of Jesus, alayhi salatu wasalam, with respect to your Lord, is the likeness of Adam, alayhi salatu wasalam. So let's look at this report. So look how beautiful. It's actually continuing with the Christian dialogue. This is now continuing, even though it's talking about the Khawarij as well, which the Prophet mentioned. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what was that very interesting point the Christians posed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? They said to him, don't you claim that Jesus is the word of God and the spirit from him? So is that mentioned anywhere? Yes. In Surah 4, verse 171. So if you look at Surah An-Nisa, Surah 4, verse 171, it mentions there clearly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, in the middle of the verse, Jesus, the son of Mary, was no more than a messenger. Then He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَقَلِمَتُهُ أَلْقَاهَا إِلَىٰ مَرْيَمَ وَرُوحٌ مِّنْ. And His word, which He bestowed on Maryam, and a spirit coming from Him. So these Christians weren't foolish people. They were actually referring to a verse. So they said to the Prophet, because do you believe this? That Jesus Christ is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a spirit from Him. So what did the Prophet say? I certainly do believe in this. Because that's enough then. So what have they done? They've taken a verse which is not clear. Have you understood? So the Quran does say that, but then you could argue, well, hang on a minute, how does that prove His divinity? Well, He's the word of God. And He's a spirit from Him. So immediately Allah Ta'ala revealed this verse. He goes, those with disease in their hearts follow the ambiguous of it, causing fitna, seeking fitna. And then Allah Ta'ala gives them another argument against them. He says, Inna mathala Isa inda Allahi ka mathali Adam. Isa is like Adam in the sight of God. He said, be and he was. Meaning, if Jesus is God because He hasn't got a father, then Adam should be an even more superior God because He hasn't got a mother or father. So note, this is the beauty of the Quran. So if a person poses the question, is it referring to the Christians of Najran or is it the Khawarij? You say both. But who was it revealed about? It was initially revealed about the Christians. Have you understood? However, the Prophet said it also applies to the Khawarij. Why? Because the Christians here did exactly the same as the Khawarij. They took something from the Quran and they were using it to prove their case because that's sufficient for this. So note again, a report here. So now I mentioned, I think, two nights prior that the opening letters, do they have a numerical value? And some of the authorities said they do. It does have a numerical value. So now there's a report and we're going to mention it. So this report adds a dimension. So the reference for this is Ibn Jarir in his tafsir, and it's also recorded in other references. I'll give it later. So the report mentions Abdullah ibn Abbas, he relates radiyallahu anhum, that Jabir ibn Abdullah ibn Ri'ab radiyallahu anhum. So he shouldn't be confused with the famous sahaba Jabir ibn Abdullah Ansari. This is another sahaba, Jabir ibn Abdullah ibn Ri'ab radiyallahu anhum. He relates Abu Yasir ibn Akhtab, he was a Jew. Abu Yasir ibn Akhtab passed by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whilst he was reciting the opening of Surah Baqarah, Alif Lam Mim. When he heard this, when his brother Huyay ibn Akhtab along with some other Jews came, Abu Yasir said, by God, be aware, I just heard Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recite amongst the words of God, Alif Lam Mim, Dhalik al-Kitab. They said, did you really hear this? He said, yes. Huyay ibn Akhtab walked at the front of a group of Jews to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to query him. So stop in the report, what's happened? So one of the Jews, he heard the Prophet recite Alif Lam Mim, and he shocked him. He went to his brother, who was a learned Jew. He goes, did he really recite this? He goes, yes. So they come now to question him about it. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they came and they said, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is it true that amongst what was revealed to you, you recite Alif Lam Mim, Dhalik al-Kitab? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, certainly. The group of Jews asked, did Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam bring you this from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, certainly. They said, prior to you sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent prophets alayhi salatu wasalam, none of whom we know of were informed by God of the duration of His dominion know of the allotted time of his community except you. So stop with the report. They confirmed it. The Prophet goes, yes, yes, it was revealed to me. Then they now interpreted it. He goes, no other prophet of old was given knowledge by their Lord how long that they're going to be and their community will flourish except you. The report continues. Huyay ibn Akhtab said, and he was facing his Jews, his brothers, Alif equals 1. Lam equals 30. Meem equals 40. And if you add them up, that is 71. Then he said to the Jews, would any of you enter into a religion of a prophet whose authority and allotted time of his community would only last 71 years? So they added the layers up. Because we're going to follow this man. 71 years, that's all he's got. Then the Jew turned his face to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do you have anything else like this? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, certainly. Huyay asked, what is that? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Alif Lam Mim Sad. Huyay then said, this is mightier, this is a longer duration. The Alif is 1, the Lam is 30, the Mim is 40, the Sad is 90. The sum of these letters is 161 years. Then he said, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do you have anything else like this? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, yes. And he goes, what is it? He goes, Alif Lam Ra. Huyay said, by God, this is mightier and longer. The Alif equals 1, the Lam equals 30, the Ra equals 200. The sum of these letters is 231. Then he goes, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do you have anything else? Yes, I have Alif Lam Mim Ra. Huyay said, by God, this is mightier and longer. The Alif equals 1, the Lam equals 30, the Mim equals 40, and the Ra equals 200. The sum of this is now 271 years. Then Huyay, he said, your affair has confused us, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We now know not whether you have been given a little or a lot of time. Then the Jews left. Abu Yasir thereupon said, I, the Jew, to Huyay ibn Akhtab and the rabbis who were with him, who knows? Perhaps the sum of all these numbers is what lies in store for Muhammad. Therefore, it would be 734 years. The group of Jews said, his affair has become too unclear for us. Then he said, some folk claim that this verse was revealed on account of them. He it is who has revealed to you the scripture, wherein are clear signs. They are the mother of the book, and others which are ambiguous. Verse 7. Verse 7 was revealed because of this incident. So now what's happened? The Jews, they were startled by these letters. And they were using numerology. And imagine they came to the Prophet ﷺ. And very interesting his response. He didn't stop them. He must be revealed to you. Alif Lam Mim. He goes, yes. They start counting it. He goes, who's going to follow this? 71 years, that's it. Anything else? Goes, yes. And the other letters. Then he started crying. Oof, a couple of centuries. Then by the end of it, they thought, we don't know whether he's got a long time or a short time. And then Allah the Almighty revealed this verse. Those with disease in their hearts, follow the mutashabihat. Straight away they showed their disease. So now there's another point here. Hafiz Ibn Jarir said in his tafsir, rahmatullah alayhi, about this incident. He mentions the incident and he said that they wanted to know the ending time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his community. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rejected their plan and informed them that the knowledge they were seeking on the basis of these ambiguous letters could not be grasped by numerical values nor by any other means. It was only known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is an opinion that has been ascribed to Jabir ibn Abdullah ibn Ri'ab, this narrator, radiyallahu. Then look what Ibn Jarir says, something very interesting. Ibn Jarir said, this narration from Jabir ibn Abdullah is the closest to the interpretation of this verse. Because all of the Quranic verses that Allah the Almighty sent to His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were sent down as a clear exposition to him and his community and as a guidance to the worlds. So what did Hafiz ibn Jarir say, rahmatullah alayhi? What he simply said was, that is the most authentic view why this verse was revealed. So now there's three things. Verse 7, the Prophet said, refers to the Khawarij sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another hadith says it was revealed due to the Christians. Because they were saying, do you believe he's the word of God, the spirit of God? He goes, yes. Now there's a third view. The Jews asking about the letters, Alif Lam Mim. And the response is, Ibn Jarir said, this third view is the most authentic. Why it was revealed. However, is there a contradiction between the three? No. Because each and every one of these showed their disease by looking at the mutashabihat, the unclear. So Allah Ta'ala gave you beautiful examples of what happens to people when they look at the mutashabihat. The Khawarij trying to work out the ahkam from the mutashabihat, disaster. The Christians describing Christ in the Quran, looking at those verses, disaster. And the Jews looking at the numerology. So now this leaves the question, can we delve into numerology? So there's a report. So this is recorded in Tabarani in his Kabir, number 10,980, relates in Marfu. Bayhaqi in his Sunan al-Kubra, 8-13. Ibn Abi Shayba in his Al-Musannaf, 5-240. As-Sana'ani in his Al-Musannaf, 11-26. Al-Khara'iti in his Masawi al-Akhlaq, number 774. Al-Haytami in Majma' al-Zawaid, 5-117, states, it's going back to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Its chain contains Khalid ibn Yazid al-Umari, who is a liar. Hafiz ibn Hajar rahmatullah alayh, it is Fath al-Bari 11-351 states, Sahih, in mawquf form. That's what it is in English. Going back to the Prophet, you can't attribute this to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's a liar in the chain. So if there's a liar in the chain, it's either fabricated or very weak. So we can't say the Prophet said these words. But look how interesting. Hafiz ibn Hajar said, but from Ibn Abbas, it's Sahih. Mawquf. So Ibn Abbas said these words. So what's the narration? Abdullah Ibn Abbas, he said, radiyallahu anhu, some ignorant people use abjadi numerology and also look at the stars for guidance in their affairs. Subhanallah, I do not think that the one who does this has any share of reason or religious commitment. So this is the report. So what did the great cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Tarjaman al-Quran. He said, ignorant people use abjadi numerology. I just described it. Abjadi, looking at letters, converting them to numbers. And stars. Then what did Ibn Abbas say? I don't think that the one who does this has any share of reason or even religion. Now why is this so frightening? Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani said, rahmatullah alayhi, in Fath al-Bari 11-351, it is proven that Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu forbade numerology and indicated it was a type of witchcraft. This is not unlikely, for it has nothing to do with Sharia. So numerology has a truth to it. You understand? We don't deny that. Just like witchcraft. But what do we know about witchcraft? It's haram for us to even open a chapter on it, to learn anything about it. But we believe that it does have effect. Numerology is the same. But it's forbidden for us to go into it. Have you understood? So you don't start saying this like some fruitcakes. No, nothing, brother. All hush, hush. The response is, what do you mean, brother? So there's no reality to it. And he goes, yeah. He goes, you're wrong. There is a reality to it. But it is forbidden for us. For us to go into it is a kufr. Have you understood? The Jewish and Christian world is infested with this, claiming that through numerology in their scripture, they have predicted events that have occurred and will also occur in the future. Have we not gone down the lizard's hole? Think about the people doing it now. He goes, oh, in the hadith, change this into letters and numbers and you get a day of Imam Mahdi coming. Right? And he goes, but that day has passed. I made a mistake. But you were coming out with Bukhari Sharif before even that day happened. Right? So no, nothing to do with our deen. And what is even more dangerous is, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he was always trying to find the easy way out for the Muslims. He's from Ahlul Bayt. But when he came to this, even the one who's trying to find a way out goes, sorry, mate, nothing to do with this. He goes, nothing to do with the deen, and you're also a mad person to delve into this. And that's the disaster. Right? So note, yes, there's a report, the Jews came to the Prophet, they weren't Muslims, were they? They weren't Muslims. And what do we know about the Jews? Fascinated by witchcraft. The Kabbalah, right? The occult. And the Quran clearly says in Surah Baqarah that they learned what could separate a husband from his wife, right? Witchcraft. The Bani Israel learned it. They left the scripture. So again, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to preserve us from this by His great kindness and mercy. And just to add this to finish, if you look at the next verse now, verse 8, Allah Ta'ala gives you a dua straight away. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَحَّابُ. O our Lord, let not our hearts deviate after you have guided us. Grant us mercy from your own presence, for you are the grantor of bounties without measure. Look how beautiful. Allah Ta'ala says people lost their guidance because of doing this. The Khawarij lost their guidance because of doing this. The Christians lost the guidance because of doing this. The Jews. So immediately you make a dua. After you have guided us, O Lord, do not misguide us. In other words, protect us with Iman. You are Al-Wahhab, the generous bestower. How often was this verse read by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? In Ibn Abi Hatim, Ibn Jarir, and Ibn Kathir, in their respective tafsirs, our beloved mother, Sayyidah Salama radiyallahu, she said, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam frequently supplicated, Ya muqallib al qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. O the turner of hearts, make my heart firm on your deen. Then he would recite this verse, Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hablana min ladunka rahma. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَحَّابِ. O our Lord, let not our hearts deviate after you have guided us. For grant us mercy from your own presence, for you are the grantor of bounties without measure. He would recite it so frequently. The dua and this verse. The dua and this verse. يَا مُقَلِّبَ الْقُلُوبِ ثَبِّتْ قَلْبِي عَلَىٰ دِينِكَ. O the turner of hearts, make my heart firm on your deen. And do not misguide us after you have guided us. Question. Why was the Prophet making these duas? We need to make these duas. Right? So note, Allah Ta'ala always gives you gifts. And there's another gift in Surah Ali Imran. But are you aware there's a gift? Look how tragic that is. You've got a dua of the Quran. And the other thing is the name of Allah Ta'ala is mentioned here. Al-Wahhab. The generous bestower. If you say Wahhabi in a derogatory sense, that's kufr. Because you've taken Allah Ta'ala's name and you've degraded it. Think about that. Right? So why have you taken the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and degraded it? Because when they say Wahhabi, so you're taking the name of Allah, bringing a law. Look how shaitan plays with people who are ignorant. Right? If they have deviated, use another name. No, I'm using the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So again, showing the state the Muslims are in, astaghfirullah. And then verse 9, another dua, O our Lord, you are He that will gather mankind together against a day about which there is no doubt, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never fails in His promise. I will discuss this more at length tomorrow. So I'll recite the verses and we will conclude. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم هو الذي أنزل عليك الكتاب منه آيات محكمات هن أم الكتاب وأخر متشابهات فأما الذين في قلوبهن في قلوبهم زيغ فيتبعون ما تشابه منه ابتغاء الفتنة وابتغاء تأويله وما يعلم تأويله إلا الله والراسخون في العلم يقولون آمنا به كل من عند ربنا وما يذكر إلا أولو الألباب ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب.
We pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu that He makes the Quran the Rabi of our hearts. And I pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu that He forgives me for any errors which I may have inadvertently uttered. Amen. Subhanallah bihamdi subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Rajeem. Subhanallah bika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al mursalin. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wal asr. Innal insana lafi khusr. Alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat. Wa asbil haqq. Wa asbil sabr. Sallallahu alaihi wa sallam.